know how many of you are fishermen. How many fishermen or fisherwomen in the house? That's awesome. How many of you don't give a flying rod, flying rip about fishing? How many of you? Yeah. Now, here's the thing. I appreciate those who can fish. I understand, man, I appreciate what you do. I'm not a fisherman. I'm a fisherman if we can go out and catch 10 big fish in 10 minutes. Like, I'm all about that. But this bald head is way too perfect to go out in that sun and get blistered all day catching nothing. And so I have a son who loves to fish, and he'll sit out there all day long whether he's catching anything or not, and that's just a fisherman. You're just going after it. You're persistent. You're consistent. You don't give up. You have that thing inside you, that quality. If you didn't catch anything today, you're going to catch something tomorrow. And if you didn't catch enough today, you're going to catch more next time. And I admire that. I just don't have it. If I can't catch fish, I'm done. Years ago, Angie and I took the kids, and we went on vacation to a place that I'd gone many times growing up, southern Missouri, just by the Ozarks, and there's a stream there, and it's full of rainbow trout, full of trout. And the way they do it there is you line up along the bank. It's not that wide, and they blow this horn at 6 a.m. in the morning, and you can start fishing. 6 a.m. vacation, 6 a.m. in the morning. I don't even understand that. But we went out there, and we're going to fish. My bride is a consummate fisherman. And so we start fishing, and what I know from going there, I started going there when I was like 9 years old. What I know is if you don't catch something in the first 15 minutes, it's going to be a long, stinking day. Well, 15 minutes, I hadn't caught anything. I'm like, hey, I'm going back to the cabinet. She's like, no, I'm going to fish. I'm going to keep fishing. So I checked on her periodically throughout the morning. I come back afternoon, over 6 hours later. Now she has her chair out in the middle of the stream, and she's still going to town and hasn't caught anything. Is it okay if I tell them that? She didn't catch anything. I think it's okay. I could tell she caught a huge fish, and she caught many big fish many times. But that day, she hadn't caught anything. And so I walk up, 6.5 hours, 7 hours later, I walk up and say, like, hey, baby, need anything? And she's just like, give me a sandwich. And she just keeps going. Like she hadn't taken a break to drink a sip of water, to eat anything. She's after the fish, and she wouldn't quit. Fishermen just have that thing about them. And I don't have it when it comes to fishing. But one thing I know is from going there over the years, and my dad loves to fish, my brothers love to fish, I just didn't get that ability. And so one thing I know is when you're fishing for trout, the line you use and the bait you use is very specific in that stream because the water's so clear, and this is maddening, you can see the fish swimming, and I'm like, my bait's right there. Just take the dang bait. And they just swim by. Now, I can fish with a shotgun, but I can't fish. Apparently, that's not legal, they told me, but I can't fish with that line and those bait. And you know, it's funny. In life, there's a lot of bait that gets thrown at us. And some of us get hooked on some things. And one of the things that I think we all deal with in life, one of the things that kind of hooks all of us, is what we're going to talk about today. It's disappointment. I don't know if you've ever dealt with disappointment. I'm confident you have, though. You've had to process disappointment. Some of you at a greater level than others. Some of you wrestle with disappointment. You've been hooked by it. And for some of you, the hook has been in so long, you're in a season of what makes it feel like a life of disappointment. There's this story in the New Testament in Luke chapter 13, where it says in verse 6, then he told this parable, and Jesus is telling a parable. Now, if you didn't grow up reading the Bible or you haven't studied the Bible much, a parable is a made-up story that communicates a spiritual truth that is a universal truth, which means it's true for all time and all places. And one of the teaching techniques of Jesus is sometimes he would tell real stories, but other times he would tell these parables where he makes up a story, but it teaches some life-changing, potentially life-changing, spiritual truth that's absolutely true. And if you grab it and I grab it, it changes everything in that arena of life. And so Luke chapter 13 says in verse 6, then he told this parable. A man had a fig tree growing in his vineyard, and he went to look for fruit on it, but did not find any. So he said to the man who took care of the vineyard, "For 3 years now, I've been coming to look for fruit on this fig tree and haven't found any. Cut it down. Why should it use up the soil?" "Sir," the man replied, "leave it alone. Please, just leave it alone for one more year, and I'll dig around it and fertilize it. If it bears fruit next year, fine. If not, then cut it down." When's the last time you were hooked by disappointment? Or when's the last time you threw out bait of what you thought was going to create something good in your life, and what you hooked was disappointing? See, there are three different perspectives in this passage that I think we can all relate to. The owner is disappointed. The manager of the vineyard is disappointing. And the tree is dysfunctional. And I don't know about you, but all three of those qualities have been in my life. For many of us, in the last week, we've experienced all three of these. You've been disappointed. You've been disappointing. And something about your life, something about my life, has been dysfunctional. And so the owner of the vineyard, who apparently periodically, in the story Jesus tells, would come and check on this vineyard, rolls up in the vineyard on this occasion, and as he's walking through it, he comes to this one tree. And it's been 3 years, and it hasn't produced anything. The seed that he planted, the seed of a fig tree, was supposed to grow into a tree, and the idea is a fig tree produces what? Figs. You're more awake than the first service was. Some of you, though, you're not with us. Let me ask one more time. A fig tree produces what? Figs. It makes sense. This is logical. And so he's walking through the vineyard. He comes to this tree. He planted it. When you plant something, you know what it's supposed to produce, but it's not producing. And he basically has this attitude of, it's got to grow or it's got to go. It's got to grow or it's got to go. The same attitude you and I get when our patience wears thin and you're at that place in your marriage, it's got to grow or it's got to go. You're at that place in your career, it's got to grow or it's got to go. You've come to that point of enough is enough. And some of you, you're tired of living disappointed. The hooks are in you. And you're thinking, something has got to change. How do I get off this hook? How do I leave disappointment? Disappointment, I know, is a part of life. But I didn't know it was going to be feel like a permanent condition in mine. How do I get the hooks of disappointment out of me? Then he told this parable. A man had a fig tree growing in his vineyard. And he went to look for fruit on it, but did not find any. Now, if you're that landowner and you walk through the vineyard and you come to the fig tree, this is not a trick question. You've already answered it, so I know you're smart enough. You're an above average crowd. You can figure this out. If you own the vineyard and you come to the fig tree and you're wanting to see fruit on it, what kind of fruit do you want to see? Figs. A fig tree will never produce oranges. A fig tree will never produce apples. A fig tree has all the ingredients it needs in the seed that was planted to produce figs. I do think it's worth mentioning that there are some people going through life, and part of the disappointment you're facing is you were created to produce figs and you're trying to produce oranges. You saw something in somebody's life. You saw something you wanted, or things that you just think it would be cool, or man, if I could just be like that, if I could do that, if I could work there, if I could be married to them, if I could function this way, that would be the greatest life. And you've decided that you should be something different than who you were really created to be. And because of that, it's never going to happen. You can't, listen, God never comes to pick fruit that he didn't first plant. And God's not going to call you to ask you to do something that he did not first plant in the soil of your soul and heart. So you're trying to be somebody that you're not. You're an introvert and you're trying to be an extrovert. And it's awkward as hell. It's just weird. You've decided, man, I want to be able to sing. You can't sing. You better go be an usher. You better go work in children's ministry. You can't sing. It's not in you. It's not what God put in you. And you're going to live your life barren and frustrated when you spend your life trying to be somebody you were never created to be. You will find more joy and more purpose in being who God created you to be. If you're a fig tree, produce figs. That is your ultimate purpose. You will find more joy there. The greatest joy is not found in being what you think is the best. The greatest joy is found in being the best God created you to be. He comes to this tree, and he doesn't find any fruit. Are you trying to produce something that God never planted in your life? Are you chasing a dream that's your dream and not God's dream, but you've decided this would be better, and you've become so focused on it? And you know what we do when we do that? We only talk to people who tell us what we want to hear. You can sing. Yeah, you can sing. They're lying to you. Are you trying to produce something God never planted in your life? Stop wasting your potential in areas that are not even related to your purpose. Because when you do that, the tree's barren, the life's barren. And the dead things that are there, because you can't produce when you're not fulfilling your purpose, the dead things there are crowding out the things that could be living but aren't, so you're not fulfilling your purpose. So he said to the man who took care of the vineyard, "For 3 years now I've been coming to look for fruit on this fig tree and haven't found any. Cut it down." Now, you and I would think the same thing. I mean, 3 years? Every time he strolls through the vineyard, when he comes to this tree, he looks up and there's nothing. There are no figs. Cut it down. Why should it use up the soil? Now, what's fascinating to me about this verse is, in the story Jesus is telling, it's a vineyard. And vineyards have multiple trees. And so he's walking through the vineyard, and apparently, from the context of the story, all the other trees are doing fine. And the trees that are producing fruit, and the trees that are growing and doing what they were intended to do, the trees that are fulfilling their purpose, are planted in the same soil as the tree that's not. So are you using your environment as an excuse to why you can't grow? In our culture, we have a chronic condition that creates a lot of the barrenness we face, and it is the condition of needing to find someone to blame, something to blame. Are you looking at the soil, where you came from, the obstacles you've had, what you've had to try to overcome, and you've used that as an excuse for why you're not growing or why your life is not more? You've decided that you're somehow limited because of your environment. And this condition is almost no respecter of age or person. There are 10-year-olds on Instagram talking about haters gonna hate. You're 10 years old. Who hates you? Are you kidding me? But we just like to blame somebody for why we're not more. The problem with that thinking is there is someone who has more haters than you that's producing. There is someone who had the same limited educational opportunities you feel like you're stuck with, and yet they figured out how to become a doctor. There's someone who came from the same home, kind of home, where it lacked love and encouragement and support, and yet they have figured out how to have a great home. In fact, the absence of love taught them a demand on the inside that I'm going to be more loving when I have my family. Somehow they figured out how to do it. I grew up and I didn't have a lot of culture and I wasn't taught a lot of things, and yet there's somebody who came from the same kind of soil that's leading a company today. As long as you spend your life blaming people or blaming the condition and the environment, you'll spend your life barren. You won't bring forth any fruit. One of the things you've got to recognize is you can grow anywhere. You really can. You can grow anywhere. Even the bad stuff, even the greatest disappointments, even the worst things in life can teach you things that help you grow. Why do you think C3 is the way it is? Why do you think we have some of the vision that we have and some of the unique things about our church that we have, that we've implemented? It's because me and some of our other leadership, we've seen some bad churches. I don't know if you know this. Please don't tell anybody. We're only going to talk about this in here. I'm not being ugly. I'm just going to speak the truth. Some churches suck. Oh, you know it's true. Don't act, oh, you said that in church. It's why you're here. You know it's true. Some churches are awesome, but there are some. And listen, all you got to do is look at the ones that are disappointing and not functioning well and fully dysfunctional and are more about clubs and society and politics than really making a difference in the community, and just do the opposite of what they do. See, it doesn't matter what soil you came from. This tree is producing nothing in a vineyard where the trees around it, some of them very close to it, in the same soil are producing. Man, I don't think I can be a great dad because I never had an example of that. That's one way to look at it. And I understand. It's valid. I get it. I understand. But listen, one of the greatest dads I know happens to be my son-in-law, Barry Oser, our student pastor, who's also he's the father of my three grandsons. One of the greatest dads I know. But what you may or may not know about Barry, he's never met his biological father, and the father who happened to adopt him abandoned him and didn't want anything to do with him. And you'd never know it by looking at the way that he fathers. If you were to look at the soil that he came from of his experiences, you would not think it's possible. Yet he chose to not allow that to hold him back from growing. Some of you, you ought to thank your parents because they gave you the perfect strategy of how to parent and be a good parent in reverse. You can grow anywhere. It doesn't have to all be perfect. It doesn't have to all be right. You don't have to have all the right experiences. You can decide. It is a decision. Barry Oser made a decision. That legacy stops here. A new legacy is being created for my family. My kids will never know or feel what I had to know and feel. He made a decision. Stop using your environment as an excuse. Stop using other people as an excuse. Sir, the man replied, leave it alone for one more year, and I'll dig around it and fertilize it. Leave it, just give me one more year. Leave it alone. You leave it alone, not that it's going to be left alone. I'm going to go to work. I'm going to dig around it and fertilize it. See, for some of you, the reason the hooks of disappointment are still in you is you deny that they impact you. If you want to deal with disappointment, if you want to move beyond what's happened to you that hurts so badly, you've got to deal with it. He says, I'll dig around it and fertilize it. You can't just live in denial. But nor can you be the kind of person that makes excuses and looks at what happens and just quits and gives up. The enemy has no problem defeating those who are easily disappointed. The enemy has no problem stopping those who are easily disappointed. She had been fishing for over 6.5 hours, and the only thing she said so she could keep going was, get me a sandwich. She's not stopping. There has to be a little bit of that spirit of defiance in your soul when obstacles come in life, when disappointing things happen, that it's just, I'm going to keep going. I'm not going to stop. It's the key factor in every great fisherman. There is this persistence. You're not going to stop what God wants to do in my life. You're not going to stop the process. I'm going to keep trying. Just give me another chance. Because if you don't have that attitude, you settle into the quicksand of disappointment and you begin to believe this is just your life and this is just how it's going to be and it's just who you are. It's the hand you were dealt. It's where you came from. It's the circumstances you have to live with. This is just going to be you, and you settle. You don't deal with disappointment by denying disappointment, like it's not impacting you. You don't deal with disappointment by quitting. Sir, the man replied, leave it alone for one more year, and I'll dig around it and fertilize it. Sir, I know when you come in this vineyard, every single time you look around and you come to this tree, and it's been 3 years, I understand. And you look at the leaves and there are no figs. But figs don't come from up here. They come from what's under the surface. Some of you have been hooked by disappointment and you've stayed there for years because you're only dealing with surface stuff and you've never been willing to dig around it. This is a good manager. He doesn't make excuses. He acknowledges there is a problem. This tree has been barren, but he says to get to the solution, what we see up here is not going to impact anything if we're not willing to go under the surface. You've got to dig around it. You've got to get down to the roots of what's really happening. You've got to be willing to get dirty. You've got to go to some difficult places. You've got to be willing to cut through and dig through some hard things. I'll dig around it. I'm going to deal with the roots. You think you're disappointed in your wife, but you're not. You're disappointed in yourself. You just don't fully have the courage to dig down deep and ask yourself why. You would rather spend your time screaming at leaves where there are no figs and blaming somebody else than dealing with the root issue in your life. You think you're disappointed with your job, but you're not. You're disappointed with your lack of ability to prioritize because you haven't learned that and you haven't applied that, but it's much easier to scream at branches with leaves that have no figs on them than to deal with the root issue and learn how to grow in that area and to prioritize so you can be more effective at your job. See, when you stand and blame and notice everything just on the surface and you're never willing to dig down under the surface, you won't bear what you could bear. You're going to miss the life God has for you. He says, if you'll just give me a year, I'm going to dig around it and fertilize it. Now, the King James Version, we use the New International Version most of the time here at C3. The King James Version is the old version. It was written in 1622. It's the thee and the thou and the shall not. It's that one. You know how King James says this? And he answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also till I shall dig about it and dung it. You know what that is, right? What? Are you kidding me? You can get the hooks of disappointment out of you. You can begin to bear fruit. You can leave the place where nothing's happening that you wish would happen, because the essence of disappointment is things aren't growing where you believe they should grow. Things aren't happening where you believe they should happen or the way that you believe they should happen. You got to dig around. You got to get to the root system, and you got to dung it. What is he talking about? Well, the fruit that you can see is always a result of the root you can't see. The fruit you can see is always a result of the root you can't see. Have you ever been in that place of, I can't take one more thing? I can't deal with one more thing. As a parent, you know the agony of trying to work with one of your kids, and there's some real challenges, and there's some difficulty, and there have been so many hurdles, and it just seems like it's never ending. And you feel like, I don't know if I can take it. I don't know what else to do. And you're disappointed. In your marriage, you've tried, and you've read books, and you've talked to people that have happy marriages, and you've come from every angle. You've done everything you know to do, and yet things continue to still keep happening that are discouraging to you, and you're disappointed. And I don't know if I can take it. You took that position, and you took that job because of what you thought it would do for your life and in your life and for your family, and yet since you took it, it's been one thing happening after another. It's not producing what you thought it would produce. In fact, it seems to be becoming more and more challenging. And maybe you haven't said it out loud yet, or maybe you have. I don't know if I can take one more thing. Sir, the man replied, leave it alone for one more year, and I'll dig around it and fertilize it. I'll dung it. See, what God knows is one of the ways we process and get the hooks of disappointment out of us is when we're in that place where we allow grace and mercy to dig down deep, where we acknowledge what's in my root system, and I deal with my dysfunction. When I deal with my dysfunction, I can handle disappointments. It's not that disappointments stop coming. It's just that I can handle them. They don't devastate me. They don't destroy me. I don't think I live on Disappointment Avenue for the rest of my life. When I deal with my dysfunction, I understand them for what they are, the disappointments. And God understands that part of the process of getting the hooks out is when I say, God, I don't want to live in this place forever. Please, let this be catch and release. Let me off the hook. I don't want to have to process this disappointment. I'm willing to dig down deep around the root system, and God, I ask you to show me what is it in my life, in my thinking, in my attitudes, in my behaviors. God, what are the motivations in my life that are creating this barrenness in my life? And one of the things that happens is the manure comes, and it's messy, and it's dirty, and it smells, And it seems like the last thing that you need to happen. I'm dealing with all of this. And now you're going to dung it? Seriously? But what if God understands something that you and I don't, because he has this perspective of whole life, not just this moment or this season? And what if what God knows is that it's not that he's allowing these things in your life to destroy you. He's allowing some things in your life that are going to help you grow. He's allowing something. See, you can't grow stuff without fertilizing it. And you can't grow stuff without tending to it. When you plant stuff, you've got to focus on it. You've got to deal with it. If you plant a garden and leave it alone, stuff's going to grow, but it's not the stuff you dreamed of. So when you're digging around and dealing with the roots and you're putting manure, compost, when you're putting that on there, see, God does the same thing. He allows the same thing in our lives. And it's not to discourage you. What if the dung that keeps coming is not meant to destroy you? What if it's meant to help you come more fully alive in areas that you haven't experienced yet? What if God understands it's a process you've got to go through? What if the failures that you seem like you're facing, and you seem like you're going through failure after failure, what if failure is nothing but fertilizer? What if what God is allowing is going to cause you to have greater dependency upon him and who you are meant to be? You were born. You are here to produce figs. Whatever your purpose is, fill in the blank. Who you were meant to be. God's going to deal with the stuff that's keeping that from happening. And it's going to be a messy, stinky process. But on the other side of it, it might take about a year. It might take a little less, a little longer. But on the other side of it, you're going to finally begin to produce fruit you've never produced. The only way you miss it is to just give up, quit, and deny it. So the hooks of disappointment are in you. And you've taken the bait of, it's just life. It's just the way it has to be. It's caused you to think less of you than God does. Because for some of you, your greatest disappointment is in yourself. You deal with the disappointment of being disappointing. And you carry the guilt and the weight and the pressure. And you feel like too much has already happened and you've gone too far. But what if it seems like when the hooks are still there and you're still in the middle of that? What if you just, with grit and determination, trust the mercy and grace of God? What if you just decided, because it's a decision, to have that bring me a sandwich attitude? I'm going to keep going. I'm going to trust God. I'm not going to give up. This tree may have been bare, but I'm going to allow God to create something in my life to get the hooks of disappointment out of me, even if we have to go down to the roots of where it really is and stop playing on the surface. And it might get messy, but I want God to do something that doesn't just change me, but changes my family tree. I want to live a legacy of how to get the hooks of disappointment out of me so that my kids don't live defeated, less than lives. You've been hooked. But what if today could be the day where the release begins to happen? I want to ask you to stand with me. Heads bowed and eyes closed all across this room. I want to go into a moment of prayer together. And if you're here this morning and you've been wrestling with disappointment, maybe you feel like you've been disappointing, or maybe you're disappointed in someone else, and the hurt is real, and the pain is there, but you don't want to settle anymore. You don't want to just stay there. Could I pray for you? This morning, I'd like to do something kind of special. If that's where you are, heads are bowed, eyes are closed, I'd love to pray for you. If in this moment you'll just slip out of your seat and come right up here, I want to pray. We're not going to embarrass you. The lights are low. They're going to stay low. But man, if you'd say, man, I want disappointment to leave my life. I want those hooks out of my life. Just slip out. Just say, excuse me. They'll let you by and just come right here. And I want to pray with you in the next few moments. God bless you guys. Just come on. So you think maybe I shouldn't go because you feel like, man, if I'm this disappointed in me, how much more must God be disappointed in me? But do you recognize? Before the sun rose this morning or the bird sang its very first song, God knew what you would hear in this moment. And it's just his way to whisper to you, I'm not disappointed in you. I love you. The moment you feel justice say, cut it down, you should be taken out. Mercy and grace race in. Say, no, no, no. Give it a little more time. Let grace dig down deep in your life. Let mercy be applied. Maybe God just wants to say to you, there is no one that walks this planet that I love more than I love you. And because of that, can you imagine what's possible? If dead things are gone and you begin to focus on truth and the perspective of how much God loves you, and disappointments will still come, they just don't have to devastate you. You can live in the freedom of knowing you are loved by God. Let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for those standing here this morning. God, you know every story. You know the deep disappointments. You know how deep the hooks are buried, and you know what each person is processing and the amount of pain they're having to walk through. Father, for some, because of what they've begun to believe about themselves or about you. But this morning, by coming, God, it's an act of simple faith that just says, Father, I look to you. Father, in the midst of my disappointments, I turn to you. And Father, I no longer want to just deal with what's on the surface, but I understand it may be messy and it may get dirty, but I want to deal with the root system of what's creating this in my life. And so whatever that is, God, I turn it over to you. I ask for your help. And Father, I pray that when circumstances beyond us come into life, things that are unfair, things that are not right, that you would help us to just live in your grace and mercy. Father, help us to understand. I pray for every person standing here that they understand we're not defined by our failures. We're not defined by the things that happen to us. We're defined because and by the fact that every single person here is infinitely and deeply loved by you. God, I pray we'd walk in that. I pray for the areas that have been barren, that as we focus on you and pursue you, that you would produce fruit in these lives. Help us to be patient like the fishermen, because it might take a year. But Father, we know the biblical pattern for success has always been consistency. So help this be a moment in our lives that doesn't just pass with a Sunday morning. But I pray for those here, God, that this would be a moment that would create momentum as we pursue you. However much time, God, it takes, that's what it takes. But I pray for your blessing. I pray for your purpose. And I pray for your grace and mercy in each of these lives. In Christ's name.